had all kinds of different things. He built this rock, and it's probably about 7-8 feet tall. Did a real good job. You know, anything he does really well. Well, we had hauled it around the car, and he had the wooden wings were coming down on the bottom, and I don't know if we had some weight on top of it, but it kind of one side kind of flopped over, and so I had to put some washers in there to support it again, and I had it on a workbench out in the front yard, you know, there, and the post guy goes by, guy goes by, and he stops his truck, and he comes over and walks over to me, and he says, "What you doing with the rocket?" You know, and I said, "Oh no, this is just for VBS," you know, and he says, "You're not going to pack it with anything?" You know? And I said, no. I said, you know, we're just going to, I said, "It looks pretty good though, doesn't it?" I said, "If it works fine, I think we're going to point it at North Korea," you know, like that. But I tell you, we had some good times decorating already. And I tell you, and we build momentum. We were at a VBS where we picked up their the decorations the other night, Friday night. And they were finishing up their VBS. It was a Spanish church in Aurora, maybe the only Spanish church. But they've been doing this for a number of years. And so they had 160 kids. And then they averaged about 135. So there was a lot of activity going on there. But you could just tell that. And even before the kids left, they said, "Now, next year's date will be such and such," you know. So they've already built a reputation for having a real good VBS, and they attract a lot of kids. So we're going to start. You know, the theme for Vacation Bible School for this morning, it comes from Psalm 139:14. It's called Maker Fun Factory, the VBS. But the verse that is the memory verse for today is, "Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex." From Psalm 139, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn them to 139. We're just going to be dealing with the same themes that are going on in VBS. We're just doing this 3 Sundays, as you know now. But we're going to start out, and we're going to look at the Lord's care for the one who trusts in him from Psalm 139. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention to you, when I was studying this passage of Scripture this past week, I thought of this movie I'd seen a number of years ago with Jim Carrey as the main actor. But what it is, maybe you remember seeing that movie. I can't tell you, you know, if it was, it seemed to me it was a clean movie anyway. But it was called The Truman Show. Anybody ever seen that movie? And what it was about a producer, a Hollywood producer, who made this reality TV show where it happened on a certain location. All the people in it were actors except one, Truman, who was, you know, according to the story, he was born in that city, make-believe city. He didn't know that he was the star of the show. So all the action of all the cameras centered on this guy by the name of Truman. And the action took place somewhere where he was probably close to 30 then. His father, according to the description, he left the set. What happened is, Truman was instructed that he went out to sea, and he lost his life out in the sea. So Truman could see the sea. It was a seacoast town. Everything was make-believe. It was a huge dome, okay? And there was a girlfriend that Truman had that started hinting to him that this was all a fake. And Truman started putting the pieces together, and everything, he said, you know, there are certain things that just didn't add up. And so he started investigating, and when anybody would threaten or that might give away the plot of what was going on, because the whole world was watching this guy who didn't know he was being on TV. And finally, Truman got enough courage to launch out in a boat and go out into the sea. And the producer and director of this movie, of this big dome, sent a man-made storm on the lake, and it was going to nearly wipe out Truman, but Truman kept on going. And finally, the director knew that he was going to escape out of this dome, and so the director watching everything started to speak to him from the skies, okay? And it was if he was God, he didn't say he was God, but he said, "Truman, you're going and you're looking, and there's no more truth out there than what's already here." And Truman's talking back to this voice, and the voice tells him, "I've watched you when you lost your first tooth. I've been with you there." And you know, it's like This person who was the director was taking the place of God. And he seemed to gain satisfaction of being able to control the life of an individual. It was really an eerie type of thing when you think about it that way, of a man that was so proud as this director that he was controlling the life of an individual, even in the place of God. There's only one that controls our life or that has that type of effect, and that is God himself, right? And so we're going to be reading now Psalm 139. We're going to look at only the first six verses today. I'm not even getting to the verses of VBS today. It's just the scriptures that way. It's got so much in it. God is so great. Let's just bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read Psalm 139. Our Heavenly Father, now I ask that you would guide us, even as we look at this scripture this morning. Help us to realize how great you are, and just get a glimpse of what the scriptures reveal about you. Help us to know our Maker and our Creator this morning, what you are like. Help us to draw closer to you, even as revealed in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks now as we ask for you to work in our life through your scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to read the whole scripture this morning, the whole chapter written by David. It says, O Lord, this is out of New King James Version now. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into hell, heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And this is the verse the kids are learning today. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet none of them were. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. But do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This psalm is a great psalm. Some have divided it into four sections. The first part of the omniscience, God's all-knowing. Second part, omnipresence. God is everywhere. The third part, omnipotence. God created everything. And finally, omni-righteousness, I think they said. God is the righteous one. But we're going to be just looking at God, how God knows us this morning. And it's so incredible, even as we look at this. The expositor says of this psalm, the reflections of the past and present situation express a profound knowledge of God and a conviction that this God has a concern for individuals. Yahweh loves and knows his people, and they in turn need not be afraid of his scrutiny. We're looking at the fact that God knows us. God knows his children. David was a believer. Now, you know, right away you'd have to say is that God knows everything. God has all knowledge. He doesn't learn. Almighty doesn't learn anything. He knows everything. But Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he did know. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered, the scripture says. But the amazing thing is that he knows his children. He's close to his children. In the book of Psalm 138, look at back at verse 6 in Psalm 38, 138, the psalm before. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. He knows at a distance. It's as though God doesn't even care to draw close to those who are proud. He knows, he understands, but he knows them from a distance. But not so his children. Those who put their trust in him, the lowly of heart, the scripture says, he is with us. And these are some of the principles the kids will be learning this week. Well, look at this first verse, first of all. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. The word searched is a word that is used from a diligent. It's used of a mining term, mining metals. It's used of somebody. See, God probes and he looks into our heart. And another, I think of a book of Chronicles that it says the Lord searches through the whole earth looking for one whose heart is perfect toward him. But he examines our hearts, the hearts of men. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about the Word of God, which discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. God knows what our hearts are like. And when it talks about our thoughts, it says here, search me and know me. Well, the thoughts are coming down here. Let me look at, it says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. He knows our position. He knows where we live. Can you imagine that? God, sometimes you wonder how God can know every bit of information about every person in this world. We have a hard time grasping that. But I tell you, even with the computers that we have today, doesn't it amaze you? Even what man has created right now, doesn't it amaze you that you can do a search, a Google search? You know, on, let's say, for example, I'm going to be looking for Vacation Bible School of an HDMI splitter. I mentioned that to Don this morning and some others. Maybe we'll look on Amazon and everything. But you can look at that, and wouldn't you know, the next time you go online, there's an advertisement on the side. Have you noticed that? How it tracks you? Or I looked at a very desk so that sometime I'd be sitting down but be able to stand up and work at the computer standing up for your posture and everything. You look at a very desk. Next time you plug into YouTube or look at anything, what's the advertisement on the side? Isn't it amazing how the computer is able to track what our interests are, what searches we've made, right? But God is far greater than that. He knows every individual, what not only what their searches are, but he knows the intents behind those. He understands the minds of men. He knows when we sit down, and he knows when we rise up. You know, when I was thinking of this, I thought of the verse in Psalm 20 where it says, some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. And then it describes those people who are not trusting the Lord. It says they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen. That's our word here. We have risen and stood upright. God knows when we're sitting. He knows when we stand up, and he knows when we stand up to take a trip. He knows when we stand up to make a stand and to testify for him, like Psalm 20 says. When it says here, he says, you understand my thought afar off. He searches us and knows us, and he understands our thought. You know, the word for thought there is that God knows our purposes and our aims. You know, a lot of times, we don't even know that of ourselves. Do you realize that? The heart is desperately wicked and utterly deceitful, and it can deceive us. How many times has it happened to me, I think, that I rationalize in my mind saying, well, you know what? I think we can really use a newer vehicle at this time. You ever do that in your mind and you really rationalize why you need that vehicle? Or it's another purchase that you might make. But you can, in your own mind, think of why you could and should be able to do that. We don't even understand sometimes the motivations in our own heart. We think our motives are pure a lot of times, but God is the one who tests, even with our scriptures. I remember one time when I was struggling when I was going through college, and I had a roommate who really knew the scriptures, and I said, Jim, I want to go in this direction. I want to make sure it's the Lord's leading. And, you know, I said, what do you think about this? And I was describing about going a certain direction. And Jim said, well, can you take your Bible and turn it to Romans 12, 1 and 2? And I said, okay. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so he went down that verse with me in finding out the will of God. And he says, and he just said, well, what is your desire in this? What is your heart's desire in this? And you know, the more he talked with me, the more I could see that what I was doing was selfish, my own selfish goals in life. So a lot of times we have a hard time, but God knows what our thoughts are, what our purposes are. And then it says here, it says, you understand my thought afar off. Now, you know, when I first read that, when I read it, this is the way I've read it in time past. I've read that God is in heaven. He's a long ways away. And even though do I have this on? Dave, you're looking at me like I don't have this microphone on or something. Is that on now? Sorry about that. I should have been able to pick that up right away. Dave's going, something's wrong here. He's going on the side and we're losing him. Sorry about that. Well, at any rate, you know, I thought, well, God's in heaven. He knows that far away. He knows what I'm thinking. That is not the case here. That is the case, the word that's used in that Psalm 138, when he knows the proud afar off. God separates himself and he knows them afar off. This word is used of man, though, going to a distant country. When the Gibeonites came to the Israelites, they said, we've traveled a long distance, we come from a distant country. It's man removing himself from God, is the idea here. God knows our thoughts when we remove ourselves from him. He still knows our thoughts. He knows all about us, even when we pull ourselves away from him. Even as I was studying this past week, I thought of that, and I thought of the prodigal son, how the prodigal son went into a distant country, away from his father. And how oftentimes do we do that as well? We go away from God in our motives and the things we do. And I was thinking about that, and I was feeling kind of bad about that. And you know, say, Lord, how many times do I do my own thing? Don't do what you want me to do. And I went downstairs in my study, okay? I was looking for maybe another commentary on Psalm 139. I was studying upstairs, went down to my study. And there, I've got a window well in my study, okay? And this window well, it's got a ladder. It's an egress window from the basement. And it's loaded with white rock on the bottom, okay? And I cleaned it out not too long ago because there was a ton of spider webs in there, you know? But I cleaned it out, and I don't have a curtains over it or anything that lets light in from the outside. You know, the window well has a plastic door on top so no rain can get in, nothing can get in, and it's bolted down so you can't get in through there. But there on the white rock was a big fat toad, okay? A big fat toad. Now you wonder, he's pretty big. How did he get in there in the first place? But you know what? That toad, it was like 5 feet to the top. Okay, now apparently he fell in there. He got through a crack and he fell in there. But that, and it was hot in that window well now down there. But what are the chances that that toad is going to get out of there? What are the chances that he's going to find food and nourishment down in that window well? Not too great, is it? So I got a glove on and I went in there and I grabbed him, you know, went in, grabbed him and brought him outside. And then the doorbell rang. I was distracted. I was going to just, because he was pretty weak already. And I was going to bring him some water and stuff like that, maybe just put a little water down by him or something. But I had to answer the door or something, or a dog distracted me. So for a little bit, I got water, went out there, and he's already disappeared. He's happy as a lark now. He's back in his own environment. But, you know, even for that illustration, you think, it was like the Lord was speaking to me. He said, you know, you're a lot like that toad, you know. You're a lot like that toad, you know. You can go in your own direction sometimes and do your own thing. And when we do that, we can squeeze through and get into some predicaments, and the nourishment is no longer there. The water's no longer there. Separation from God, I tell you, it's a dry, terrible experience, even as the prodigal son found out, didn't he, in his riotous living, doing his own thing. And even as believers, we can do that. God knows our thoughts even when we remove ourselves from Him. And then what does it say? You comprehend my path and my lying down. You know, I know I'm going in a little bit of depth here on some of these, but I tell you, even as I study some of these words, I was kind of amazed. Comprehend is an interesting word. It's hard to understand why they translated it, comprehend. It's of the word to sow seed, like this. So how in the world did you get a definition of comprehend from sowing seed like that, separating seed? I think it's a picture. It's a picture that the Lord, He surrounds us like seed. And so there's an understanding there because He's on every side and He understands our path. The word for path there is, it's a word that was used like in the book of Moses, or when Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, when he said there's a path to life and a path to death. A way of life and a way of death. And that's the word that's used here. And so the Lord knows when we choose a way that is a wrong way. And you know, there are some ways that are dead end streets. You contemplate that a little bit. It is so true. You know, how oftentimes do we run into people that have addictions in their life? They've gone down a path and it's just about impossible for them to turn back anymore. I tell you, that's a horrible thing. Some of the addictions that people get into nowadays, and there's all kinds of addictions that we can get into. But that's the idea here. You comprehend, you surround my path, you're aware of it, my path and my lying down. Lying down. Notice when we lie down, you know, that's the place where we take a nap in the afternoon. That's a place where we go to sleep at night. And if there's any place that we consider a private place, it's the place of our bedroom. The most private places. But the God is in that sphere, and He surrounds us even then like seed sown, even when we're in our bedroom. Right? The Lord knows all about us. Well, David goes on. You are acquainted. You could almost say that you're used to. It has a word for meaning service, but it's in the one way it's translated, you're used to all of my ways. Now, this way is different from the way above, the path above. This is often translated, you know all my paths, but it's a well-worn path. It's different paths that you know when you're going alongside a field or you're going through the woods and people have walked in that, the grass no longer is grown there. That's the type of path. There are many different paths, but the Lord's acquainted. He's used to the paths that we tread on a daily basis. Going here, going there on a regular basis, He's aware of all that. And then it says this, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You're completely aware of it. He knows, God knows words that we have on our tongue, for example, and we don't even speak. Isn't that interesting? God knows what we might have said. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you spoke and you said, I'm sure sorry I said that? Yeah, it happens to us regular. Or how about this, when you're in a place and you said, oh, am I glad I didn't say anything about that? Ever have those experiences happen? I worked in a clinic I was called to another clinic, substituting over at another clinic. And I got there, and this place was a newer clinic, and ATI clinic, and there was a gal up front, okay, and then there was another person, but she had her evaluations. And at one point in time, I had four people at one time I was trying to give therapy to, four people at one time. And I asked, wow, someone, is it this one right here? But I asked the girl at the front office if she could do some exercise. She says, oh no, I'm only allowed to have to do that between 9 and 11. 9 and 11? Yeah, and it's 1 o'clock now, so I can't do that anymore. So I struggled through with these patients, you know, juggling these four patients at one time. And I said afterward, never going back to that clinic again. Sorry, never going there. That's too disorganized a place. Well, you know, the guy came back, the one who is in charge of the whole thing, and he said, I want to assure you, I'll never let that happen in my clinic again, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's good to know, but you can call somebody else to go over there. I'm not going over there. But, you know, I went back to my clinic, and we had a gal up front substituting for our gal, and they mentioned this clinic over there that I had been at, and I was just about to tell her about this girl up front who didn't help me at all. She said it would do it for only from 9 to 11. I was just about to tell her that, and I found out that girl was her daughter. That would have been a bad thing to say, wouldn't it have? And I closed my mouth, and afterward I said, I'm sure glad I didn't say anything about her daughter, right? But the Lord knows when things are on the tip of our tongue and we don't say them even. The Lord is incredible in his understanding of us. You know it all together. Verse 5, you have hedged me behind and before. You know that word hedged was used when they surrounded a city. You know the military tactics way back when? They would surround a city and they'd put a blockade on it so they couldn't get food in and out. And this is the word here. God putting, surrounding us, hedging us in. You know, believers, that's a blessed thing. You say, well, these people that were surrounded by the enemy, I mean, they starved themselves to death sometimes. It was a horrible, horrible experience to be hedged in a city. But you know, when God hedges you in, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. He can make you go in a direction and do things you say, I'm never going to do that. Well, God can make you go in a certain direction if he wants you to go in that direction. But it's oftentimes it's very wonderful. It is. It's wonderful. And the psalmist is going to tell that. It reminded me of a time, though, that I told you we went to Indonesia for a year, and we got to know some of those missionaries in Indonesia. And one of our friends, Andrew Sims, worked with a tribe in the interior of Irian Jaya. It's now called Papua. Papua New Guinea is on one side. Now it's Papua on the other side. But he worked with a tribe. And Andrew Sims was a real adventuresome guy. And he was making plans to go to a tribe in the interior that had never seen anybody from the outside world. And there was a contact of a woman who went from that tribe to another tribe and learned the language. So Andrew was going to use this contact to go and visit this tribe. And there was one man in that tribe who was known as a man killer. He had killed like 30 people. Okay? And you know, they wear the head hunter, you know, things and the bones through their nose and everything. And well, Andrew was going to this tribe, and he had a couple of men that came from the other tribe that were going to protect him. And he said when he went to sleep that night, one man slept right here on this side, and one man slept right this on this side. He couldn't even turn at night because these natives were protecting him and hedging him in. Okay? But they loved him. They wanted to protect him. So that's the idea here. God is hedging us in, but he hedges us in for a good purpose. Okay, behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. This is a wonderful thing. And then David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. You know, David admits right here when he thinks about what God does,
He says it's wonderful. It's incomprehensible. It's extraordinary. God does such amazing things. When he places his hand upon us, that's a hand of blessing. That's a hand of guidance. That's a hand of protection. But it's amazing to us how God does what he is able to do to protect, to lead, and to guide us. Scroggie, in his commentary, said, the truth about God's omniscience is overwhelming, amazing, astounding, but no more than a teacup can hold the ocean than can a mind conceive, comprehend the infinite, but that we may apprehend that which we cannot comprehend. In other words, God's knowledge, what he knows and understands, is so great, we can't even understand it. How humbling this is, though, and how great it is, even when we think of God's knowledge and protection of us. We're going to go on and we're going to look at the omnipresence of God next time and the way the Lord created us. But let me just kind of conclude by saying this, is that there was a missionary who went to the mission field that had a glass eye, okay? And what he did, he wanted these natives to work for him. And so what he did, this was over in Africa, he would take out his glass eye and he would put it on a stump. And as long as that glass eye was on the stump, the workers all worked diligently. Well, he came back one day and he saw them just loafing around, not doing anything. And he's wondering, what happened? Well, he found out that there was one of the natives that the eye was on the stump. He crawled on the ground, okay? And he got close to the stump and he took off a cap. And he threw it over the glass eye. And then they went on to loafing, you know. But you know what? We kind of chuckle at that. But you know, aren't we doing the same thing, stupid things sometimes, foolish things? Thinking that we can somehow do things without God knowing about these things. Or thoughts. Or even words. God knows everything that we do. It's a wonderful truth, though, for a believer, because when he knows and he's with us, he's got his hand upon us. Even when we sin and he knows we're far from us, he knows, he comprehends our thoughts even at when we go away from him. This past Monday, I'll just end with this. It's a little shorter message this morning. We spent most of our time this week, I think, at Vacation Bible School doing those things. But at any rate, this past Monday, as usual, I went to the Y, coming out of the swimming pool. I was just changing, and a guy went by me, and he said, "See you guys later." He went out, and I guess I was going in the showers. That's what I was doing. And one of the guys there in the morning comes on, and he comes and he says, "That guy that just left here stole money out of Tom's wallet." Now, it's been a regular practice. Just recently, somebody on Sunday had taken a crowbar. I don't know how they did that, but any locker that had a lock out of it, you know, they took a crowbar and yanked it aside and bent it up to try to get at the wallet or something inside that locker on a Sunday. But this day, this kid, a young man, while Tom went, he took off his gym clothes, his locker was still open, went in the shower, he went and quickly grabbed his wallet, took money out of it, and went back into the gym. Now, he went back into the workout area. And one of the other guys said, "That's not right that he went in there for such a short period of time and came out." So he went in and told Tom, he said, "Tom, check your wallet." So when he said, "I've got money missing out of it," Tom went immediately, had dressed and got out there, and their kid was out there, and he said, "Did you take money out of my wallet?" And that kid did produce the money, because he was in gym clothes, he couldn't hide it. And he got it back. But as I was leaving, he was sitting there, the cops were being called. And Tom, I heard him say over the phone, "And I want to press charges on this young man as well." And this young man, he's just looking down, doing his thing, but he was caught now. How many times, though, has he done things like that thinking nobody sees what I'm doing, right? Maybe he's done that a number of times. But listen, now man had caught him, but God knows all that goes on, doesn't he? His knowledge is so great. He knows everything about us. But the best part about it for a believer, he's got his hand of blessing upon us, even when our thoughts aren't what they should be. Let's look to the Lord in closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that you do know us. You know all men. Father, we'd rather have you know us close range than at a distance, though. Even though we are embarrassed by the fact that we turn away from you and we're stubborn and we do so many things on our own, we're thankful that you have this ability to hedge us in, that you have this ability to direct us, to put your hand upon us, to protect us, to guide us, and you care about us. And David said, such knowledge is so wonderful, I can't even comprehend how great it is, the way that you comprehend everything about us. We thank you now, and we pray even for the kids this morning, and even as they're understanding how you know them, you made them. And Father, they're going to learn even how you made them for a purpose and what you did in Christ Jesus to come and rescue them. We give you thanks now. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been speaking.